No one is ever going to talk to you more than you talk to yourself. So be careful what you say.
Hello and welcome to Pillars of Wealth Creation, where we talk about creating financial success with a special focus on business and real estate. I'm your host, Todd Dexheimer. Now, let's get to it. Hello and welcome back to Pillars of Wealth Creation. I'm your host, Todd Dexheimer. With me excited to have Jason Yerusi. Jason, how are you doing today?
Doing great, Todd. Ready to be here.
Yeah, man. Thanks for joining me. And Jason, you were on the show, but it's been a long time and I should have looked up the episode. I'll throw that in the show notes, listeners, so you can listen to I think you've been on twice actually previously, but I'll throw those in the show notes. That way listeners can check those episodes out.
I'm going to say at least 2 years. I'm going to say so you got to go back. It's been 2 years at least. Yeah. Since the last time we did this.
It's been a while for sure. Too long, man. So, you are the founder, private fund manager, founder of Yerusi Holdings, overseeing $285 million multifamily and looks like some self-storage and maybe some other stuff, but real estate portfolio. Since 2007, Yerusi Holdings has acquired 2,700 or more apartment units. And beyond that, man, you got a lot of stuff going on. Obviously, your father, you're a fitness fanatic, you ultra marathon runner, host of the Multifamily Live podcast and Live 100 podcast. And then you lead the 7-figure multifamily mastermind group. So you got a lot going on in your life. How do you manage it all, man? You got so much going on.
I guess the part of this, and yeah, it's great to be back, is that I don't do a lot of that all myself. And
yeah.
So give that all myself, minus the running. I do the running, although I have wife, kids, and support me and come out and deal with me running for 20 hours, right? Beyond that, you know, all of those things you just said, part of the discovery process, because, you know, I think you said, you know, we started this Yerusi Holdings back in 2016, right? Is that Peely, my wife, right? And myself, we started it. We were really doing all of the pieces, right? And that's fine. You know, you can do that. However, as you continue to scale, you become the linchpin, the person that stops you from the improvement, right?
Yeah.
We were that part, right? We were doing these things. We were doing things good, but we were lacking the greatness when we actually started to fill the gaps by bringing on teams and partners, right? So now here at Yerusi Holdings, we have a team under us, right? That work with us to make these projects successful with 7-figure multifamily. Of course, we have our partners there that help carry that through, right? So all these channels, it's been really great, but it's also been able to happen because there's a lot of other people that are helping to push the ball down the court, right? Push everything forward, right? Minus us just saying, hey, we're doing all the pieces.
Yeah. When you start, you know, something new. So, you know, previously you were working for your family company, right? It's your family's company and you guys were lifting houses and you started doing the multifamily. When you are starting something new, like how do you decide, okay, it's time or I can take this on? Like how do you set yourself up?
Yeah. I don't know if I think about it, I can take this on. It's like, do I want to take it on? Like, why would I do this? Right. Like PO is usually the frame of reason right now. She says like, do we need to do that? Do we want to do that? Right. Is that something we want to explore? Right. Like at one part I was like, we should open up a donut franchise. Right. And she was like, why do you want to do that? And like when I got to the point, like I didn't have a good answer. I just thought it was going to be a good investment, which it turned out, I see how they've done. It's turned out fine. But for me and our path, it was off the path, right? We've done a lot with restaurants. And I think there was a lot of energy in when we worked in New York City. I loved the bar world, the restaurant world. We had a lot of growth. But however, that part and even moving to help dad with the construction business, it was so active that like we had no time. And like, you know, so we had no time and it wasn't time that we wanted to spend, right? It was that, you know, now we're super busy. However, we like, you know, we love what we do, right? But together, like if after this, I want to go to my kids' event or I want to take them to the thing, like that's built in now where we can be super busy, but still live to the timeline that we want to live on, right? And so when I look at things, I say, okay, is this going to just be so busy for a purpose, right? You know, like Live 100 is another piece coming on, like some of the speaking we've gotten out to do and just doing that. that's been something that's been growing for a lot of points. And it just came to us because we just get a lot of questions, right? We come on here, I mean, we'll talk about real estate, but a lot of it comes down to, you know, just the setup, mindset, you know, emotional growth, right? You know, resilience, talking into peak performance. And so that message just carried through a lot, and I'm constantly talking on that. And it was breaking to a part where instead of driving it through multifamily live when it wasn't quite aligning anymore with that, or just it was taking too much from that, that we had to make it its own separate course, right? And so we started leading into that because it was detracting. I'll say detracting, but it was no longer making sense for the road it was on at that time.
Makes sense. Yeah. So Live 100, and I love that up. I love that podcast. But I listen to it. You know, just they're fairly short episodes. They're, I don't know, 5 to 10 minutes long. You pick something. You're picking. I can't remember. I just listened to one the other day, and I think it was, you know, I don't remember exactly what the term what you use, but it was about actually like procrastinating and getting stuff done, right? So you're going to pick something that's of interest that you have maybe on your heart or whatever, and you talk about it. So if anybody wants that just a motivating podcast, I would say, and a mind more of a mindset podcast. I don't know if you ever talk about multifamily on that podcast.
No, you know, what came in there is that it's all about leveling up your fundamentals, right? And then a lot of this point, like even the way that podcast grew is that at first it was going to be like, guests, we're going to do this part. But then I started getting into it, and like all of the talk track just became like 5 to 10 minutes, and it just really started to grow with that kind of energy. And so for me, I just pick things. It's not, I don't usually, you know, I'm usually pre-taped out like a week, but it just comes up topic. Something comes in front of me, I'm like, yeah, I'll do it. Like that's what I want to talk about today. And that's really where the energy has been coming. So I'll pick some dialed in points from the approach of just what's been built out with the message of Live 100. Because when I look back at really our evolution, like what we were doing, I was like, I had a lot of bad habits, and I had to move them into better habits, right? To just really build momentum, right? And that momentum created success, right? And that's the logical approach with Live 100 is that you have something that you're listening today to this podcast, right? Because you want to learn something, right? So you're here, you know, just fine and tied because you want to come here and get some kind of elevated growth, right? Well, that's what it was that, you know, with Live 100, you come here for a message, right? You're not happy with where you are, right? You want a different outcome, but you're doing something that repeats to get you to the same outcome each and every day. Right. And you're saying, well, I'm at this outcome. It's because we're doing the same things each and every day. But when we try to break the habits, we're not replacing the habits. Like you don't get rid of habits. Like if you stop smoking, you'll like start drinking coffee, right? Or if you're like starting to drink coffee, like you'll start drinking tea, right? Or, you know, if you're trying to do something like, you know, like eat more healthy, like you'll replace it with foods in there. So like you replace habits. You don't go and just stop habits. But most of the time we're trying to stop habits. And that's usually where we fail, right? When you go into like a New Year's resolution, like I'm going to stop smoking. Okay, so what are you going to do to replace that? Are you going to stop smoking? Well, you're going to start walking 10 times a day, right? So you in that part where you're so healthy that you couldn't imagine, you know, having this unhealthy habit around you. Like, what are you going to do that's going to become you? And so I want to talk in Live 100 to give you a message of just how you can carry forward to find the trajectory of your life. Because what really is the falter for goals and goal setting is that you create a goal, but you don't think of who you are when you get to that goal. And so if you get to that goal, let's say weight loss, for an example, say I'm going to lose 30 pounds, right? You come out there and you lose 30 pounds. Well, what usually happens to 80% of people? Well, they gain the weight right back, right? Because they don't know how to live as that person because they haven't thought that through. And, you know, you go like, I'm going to get to this point. I'm going to hit this goal. But then you retract from it because you haven't set your mind and set your momentum to the right course. So you know how to live as that person. And what I hope for the message to be Live 100 is that we help you elevate your awareness of who you are to who you want to be, right? So you can have intentional execution to get to those steps of who that person is. But when you get to that person, you know how to act as that person, right? Because you're ready to be a new person at a new life. Because when we get there, usually we can't accelerate forward because we're just like, oh, we got there. I don't know who I am, right? Because if you're on that same, if your whole goal was to lose 30 pounds, right? And you're doing this point where you're like, you're eating at a deficit, right? You're working out for 4 hours a day, right? That's not going to last forever. You're not going to disappear. But you, when you get to that point, you stop, right? And you don't know how to act as like the person to live that life. Does that mean I work out 3 times a week, right? Do I now go back to a normal eating pattern? And what you do is revert to the norm of who you were before. And then that's why it all comes back.
Yeah, you never replaced it with something. And that makes so much sense. I could, you know, think about when I used to watch TV every, I'd get home from work, I'd watch TV, and
Yeah.
that was just the routine, right? You get home from work, I watch the news, then I watch sitcom, whatever, and then you know, you eat dinner, you watch a little bit more TV, and you go to bed. And when I broke that habit, I replaced that with reading.
Yeah.
That was kind of my go-to reading, and I can only read for so long, so then I'd find other things to do. But I'd replace it with you have to replace it, and that makes so much sense. And I think, you know, I had such a struggle with eating healthy, right? And so what do you replace it with? A lot of times you just want to cut it off, like you said, that New
Correct.
Year's resolution or whatever it is. You're just like, I'm gonna be done eating donuts, right? I'm not gonna do that anymore. I'm not gonna eat this pop anymore. But then you pick up another bad habit in the meantime because you didn't even think it through. You just said, I'm gonna be
But you
done.
have that time out there, right? Like if you stop smoking, you're like, well, what are you doing in that time? Like, oh, I stopped smoking today. Now the next day you're like, okay, I don't smoke. And so you're sitting here like, well, this is usually the time I smoke, right? So I'm sitting around like, ah, you know, one won't kill me. I'll just do one, you know, like, and then all of a sudden you're just back to the same thing.
Yeah, that's tough. So what have you been doing in the real estate world lately? Like it's right now we're in a crazy market. So
Yeah.
what do you do? I guess what have you been doing lately? And then maybe we'll talk about what's going on right now.
Yeah, we've been staying really focused. So like 90% is still multifamily, right? The other 10% is some development here in our backyard. We have an office building that has really like high value tenants on it. And we have self storage here. It's all right around here. So we've been going after multifamily right here in our backyard. When I say backyard, like Nashville, I'm south of Nashville, about a half hour, 40 minutes. Everything has been right around us. And so we've been really dialed in what's happening here. So we've really been able to walk into a couple opportunities. You know, some have been, we just did a loan assumption. It was at 4%. The seller had sold another property, so he was getting killed on this property because he didn't have any. He was out of state, of course. And so we were able to get this with even a loan assumption at like 75%, which was pretty insane for where the loan to value was. And then we just did another property here where we caught the treasury at the right time. We closed on it with a 5.56 rate,
Nice.
with a Fannie deal. So like we walked right in there, and we've been the couple others have been just banked at, you know, 5-year term fixed rate bank debt where we, you know, 1% prepay that, you know, if it just stays the course, we can just hang out. And if it goes in our favor, then cool, we can go out and capitalize on it for sure.
Are you signing personal guarantees on that bank debt then?
The bank would, yeah. The
Yeah,
bank.
yeah.
Yeah.
What's the, you know, a lot of people are anti-personal guarantee. It doesn't bother
Yeah.
you at all?
No, I mean, honestly, you think about it like with these projects, we believe in a project wholeheartedly, right? And where would it take us to fail? But even on these ones where there's no personal guarantee, there's a lot of guarantees still built into these things that are non-recourse and everything else. So the risk is on all sides of it, right? But on this front, it puts me in a safety net with what I feel with the loan with this, because the loan also has, you know, it's 65% loan to value. Like there would need to have a lot of things that would just blow up in this world that would really put me in a raw position on these deals, right? And so you look at that and you say, okay, could the 1% happen? Yeah, absolutely. But you know, the 1%, the positive could also happen, right? And then there's 98% in between, which is probably the likelihood of what actually happens.
Well, the nice thing about the bank loans is that they're easy in, easy out,
Yeah.
way cheaper too. Way cheaper to get in, way cheaper to get out. A lot of times either prepayments are little or nothing. Maybe not quite as good of terms.
No, typically 5 and 20 or 5 and 25, right? And you're going to get 6 months, 12 months, IO, maybe 18 months, right? That's going to be pushing it. But yeah, it is. It's cheaper going in, it's cheaper going out. And usually these people, like there's local banks right around here, you know, regional banks. And so, you know, their offices are down the street, right? So it's not, you know, somewhere where I have to go through some, you know, massive communication changes to get to a person. I could just go down and talk to the guy and just say, hey, want to talk to you about this project.
Easy construction loans too on those typically. We've done a lot of local bank debt, and I like it for the exact same reasons. Personal guarantees, certainly, but like you said, you're signing a non-recourse. There's still a ton of carve-outs. So
Yeah.
if you're going to end up getting foreclosed on, they're probably going to find something in there that triggers one of those carve-outs. It's just the way it is. So likely it just doesn't matter either way.
Correct.
Yeah. Right now, today in this market, what do you see? And I guess you're hyper focused in Nashville, so we could talk Nashville, or we could talk kind of nationwide what you're seeing, because you got the coaching clients too. What do you do, and what are you seeing right now?
You know, rents have been so strong, occupancy so strong, we've been seeing a soften in some markets, right? And definitely, and even like what's in, it's funny is that, you know, we have property in Nashville and the market's been softer than even 30 minutes away in Murfreesboro, where it just stays strong, right? So you really got to be honed in with where you are. Like Murfreesboro, ton of growth. You know, it's the third fastest growing city in the nation. It just has massive things behind it that are pushing it. It has a supply constraint because of the sewer capacity here. So there's been so much constraint that continues to push and elevate occupancy here and just keep rent levels high, right? And so, you know, for markets, you see it that each market, the more dialed into your market, the more able you'll be to go and pivot accordingly to that market. So that's where we've been really trying to stay focused here, because what's happened in Murfreesboro, you go half hour a different direction, you're seeing a whole different landscape. So it really is true to nature that the more you are attuned to your market, the better you can react to what's happening.
Yeah, that's a good point. I mean, it's all about hyper local. I mean, you hear on the news, Phoenix is overbuilding, Austin's overbuilding, all these markets, whatever, and things are going, the rents are going down. But I guarantee you, there's markets, there's submarkets within those markets that are doing just great, that
Yeah,
are
even
phenomenal.
Nashville, there's certain parts of Nashville that are really where everything's coming, right? And it's trickling a little bit, but like there's certain neighborhoods in Nashville where like the lion heart, like the share of everything that's coming in is around there, right? So that's getting hit the hardest. Now, does it trickle down a little bit? Yeah, but it's not the whole effect of just Nashville in general, right? And then we see this like dip in rent, like in a lot of markets, like there's just been less rent increase, right? So it hasn't been like rents are decreasing. In some markets, they are decreasing, but we've also seen this across winter, right? So if you look at it, that we really have to see now once we pick up out of winter, what actually is happening in a lot of these markets.
Yeah, that the good point. I mean, that's just always what it, you know, look, leasing season goes through when school starts, and then it starts to slow down, and that's just how it happens, right? Very rarely do you see a market increasing, December, January, February, right?
Yeah, that's why you got to pick your data points. Because right now, we were just on a property manager call. We have one property, and we're like, we should cut rents. I was like, we've literally just been fine. And like, this is the same trend we had last year. Like, and now we're going to come into leasing season. So, like, cut rent. Like,
Doesn't make
why?
sense.
Like, I think we need to wait a month. Like, let's just see if it's the same trend as last year and what we've seen before and just stay the course. Right.
Or we
Because,
should raise rents, maybe, you know,
actually,
like we're
right.
coming into leasing season. That's
Correct.
what I'm prepping, you know, our people for, is like, look, I want to be raising rents. It's March 1st is, you know, hitting here, and leasing season's coming. Like, I want to be raising rents right now. Let's push and see what we can get. Because it's easy to lease in the spring. So why not push the limits a little bit, see what you get. If the market rejects you, then you can pivot. It's still spring leasing season, still summer leasing season, you're fine.
Yeah, that property on two properties, it's between 90 and 92%. So it's not like a point where it's 124 units collectively. Like there's no reason to rush, because once you go and drop rents, then it's hard to put the rents back up, right? And so I was like, let's just hold the course right now. Let's see what we got. Let's give it another month here and just dial in, because it's not like we're really hurting. And it's not just us, it's the other properties too. So it's not, we're like standalone, like an anomaly over there. Like everybody's in the same kind of boat over there. So.
What's the pain point that you kind of, I don't know, through your coaching that you see most people having right now?
It still goes down to that lack of clarity, man. Like, and I was there too. Like, you just get caught in this point where like everything sounds good, and because you want it perfect, you won't take any steps, right? And so you're just like, you're waiting for this perfect plan, but you don't know when that's going to show up. You don't know what is the perfect plan. So you just keep second guessing yourself instead of just saying, you know, everything I've done has come from me taking some kind of action and just going to start the plan, right? And so like multifamily, for an example, like you have to pick something. Like you just can't go out there, because like just like we talked hyper local, like people are everything looks good from zero to 5,000 units, whether it's 1910 build to brand new construction, I'll look at it. Yep. Right. But you don't know where you are. You don't know your team and everything's a guess. And like, but if you have a person, it's like, hey, I just invest in, you know, just the south of Nashville, you know, in a 30-mile radius. And I focus on 20 to 50 units. Right. I'm really clean and clear on what I look for. Well, that may not be your ultimate like vehicle that you end up investing in, but at least you understand how to set up the plan and set up the process to do that, right? Because what we stand out is that you have these people trying to dissect everything at once, and you're not getting anything done because you don't know what is actually true. So everything looks like a deal, right? And then you're like, well, I can't find an opportunity. Well, if you did find an opportunity, what would it be? So because you don't know what you're looking for. So usually with like the goal setting is like the goals are not really clear. You don't know what you're trying to accomplish and you're going after someone else's vision. So if it's like, I want to make 30,000 a month in cash flow. Okay. Well, why? Well, we just picked that number. Okay. So you really have nothing. Like, what do you want to get? Like when you do, like, what does that do for your life? Well, I don't know. Well, okay. But when we break down, like what would be the part? Like, hey, listen, like my goal is like, I have a job I love, right? But this would actually give me the freedom here where I could have no expenses at the same time and have money for put up for travel. Okay, so we need $12,000 a month, right? And that becomes our number instead of this wild number of 30,000, right? That just was made up into the future. But now you have a goal and we can say, okay, 12,000. So how are we going to do this? Well, we're going to go out there and be a limited partner. Okay, fantastic. So like, here's the average that you get back from there. Like, here's how many syndications you have to invest in the number of units and now or anything, right? Or if you, you know, go out there and, you know, start a business, right? This would be your side hustle business. This is what you would need to do to get proactive to so many leads, to so many conversations, to so many closings, right? You can build out a roadmap once you get clear what the outcome is. But usually the outcome is just we're living someone else's goal. And it's like, well, we don't, is that what you want? If it is, we'll build to it, but why? And yeah. When we break down to the reality of the situation, we usually find that you actually get tangible and actionable results because you can do things, but also it usually becomes less than what you thought you did because it becomes really your goal, your vision.
Yeah. Part of the beauty of like social media and just what we have available at our fingertips is that we can see what's available, what people are doing. Like I can see that somebody's crushing it with self-storage. I can see somebody's crushing it to buying old self-storage and building new self-storage and buying old multifamily and building new multifamily. Like there's so many different avenues, but yet the bad part is it's like, well, what do I do? Well, you know, you can go down most paths and create profit and be successful. You can be a flipper and be very successful. You can be a multifamily guy buying 10 unit buildings and be very successful. Or you can be a multifamily person and buying just 150 unit buildings that are, you know, built in 1990 to 2010, right? And you can be successful. So like you can do any of those and still be successful. That's the challenge. I think that's the hard part for so many people is because they see somebody's doing this, somebody's doing this, somebody's doing, oh, I just want to buy everything. Like, oh, everybody, you know, but no, clarity creates the roadmap and that roadmap then creates the success. That's, I think, the key, right?
Yeah, I've been guilty because like on the side of it, when you're standing outside of it, right? You know, but like you want everything to be exciting, right? Yeah. You want everything, like, it's so exciting, I'm doing this, right? But now when you realize it, it's better to just have it boring.
Yeah.
Right. Because you want it to be boring and predictable because that sets the stage for you. Because even with boring and predictable, you still have wild cards.
So
today the sewer line collapsed. Oh, the one we scoped, you know, the 20, two months ago before we took over and looked perfect. Yep. That collapsed. You know, like stuff like that's still going to happen with boring. Yep. Right. But when you get into this, like even with anything, and you could talk to life, right? Like if you're living a life of chaos, right? If your day is full of chaos, yes, everything seems like chaos. Right. But when you can create a pattern in your life where you can start to control how most of your day goes, then you can deal with having good things happen and bad things happen because you can adjust accordingly.
Yeah. I love that piece of advice. Like go out there, create the roadmap to create boring.
Yeah.
Because if you go out there and create exciting, you're going to create chaos. It's just how it's going to happen. And when you create boring, it's not going to be boring. I guarantee you, like you said, the sewer line collapsed, the gas line burst. Like, how did that happen? I don't know, but it happened. You know, like stuff happens and it goes wrong and it goes right too. But like things just happen if you're going to run your own business and you want to create as much control in that as possible, much. I guess synergy as possible.
All day long. And that kind of parallels to just if you think about, people and just want to get a different pace in your life, right? You have to start controlling, right? A lot of the variables, right? Like, so how you show up, how you react, how you eat, how you sleep, right? How you get up and work out, how you present yourself to other people, how you talk to people, right? You can control all those things, but then the point is you can't control the results, but the results would come from you having an over a sense of your controls, right? So, even with me, like, took me a while, but I started to catch myself, right? Like, don't even complain, not even to yourself, right? And like, so that part is like, what am I gonna do? Like, complain all day? Like, I can complain to you left and right, but like, does that help me? Does that help you? Does that carry anything forward? And like, if I'm complaining in my mind, like, that was not gonna get me to anywhere. Like, nothing's perfect, right? And so why am I complaining, right? Like, when I get complained, like, oh, I kicked my shoe on, I stubbed my toe. Like, what is the point of me complaining? And so I started to, put that into my mindset, like, who am I, like, what am I playing for? Like, is any value right now at all?
One of the things that you said, that my wife hates, by the way, is you say that you're just like, I never get sick. I don't get sick. And so I'm like, yeah, I don't get sick. So now I say that all the time. And people are like, oh, I'm sick, whatever. Like I'll get a cold and people are like, oh, you sick? I'm like, no, I'm not sick. And they're like, well, you sound like you have a cold. I don't know. I'm not sick. I'm fine. And I just tell myself and I tell everybody else I'm not sick. It doesn't matter. And I never get sick. And I tell that to my kids. And my kids are like, oh, I don't feel good. I'm like, yeah, you just don't get sick. You're fine. And they do get sick, right? And I just tell them, no, you guys never get sick. And you get over it. If you ever get a cold, just get over it right away. And then they actually do, right? But it irritates my wife because she's like, you do get sick. I'm like, no, I don't. I don't get sick. But it's that mindset. And quite frankly, like, I don't know if it's the mindset of just my body, whatever it is, but it doesn't really matter to me because I rarely get sick. And I feel like you're telling yourself, if you're telling yourself, man, I get sick every year over Christmas, you're going to get sick every year over Christmas. It's just going to happen because you've told yourself, you've pre-programmed your mind to get sick. Your body is like looking to get sick over Christmas.
Well, you've set the roadmap, right? And I read something the other day. It's so true. It's like, no one is ever going to talk to you more than you talk to yourself. So be careful what you say, right? Because if you're telling yourself, I'm stupid, I'm a loser, I never lose weight, right? I'm never going to meet someone special, right? You're manifesting that into the world, right? And so, with being sick, like, when you do not feel your best, right? If you go and just lie down, like, woe is me, like, you think you're going to feel better or worse, right? You're going to feel worse if you keep putting that energy into your part. But if you just get up and just keep going apart, your body will rest as it needs to rest, but you won't just add the layers, right? It's like, I'll never meet that special someone. So you literally, like, won't go to out and talk to anybody. You won't put yourself out there. You won't do this part. You're like, well, I'm never meeting someone. Well, you're not going out there to be someone that someone would want to meet, right? Because you're disappearing, you're hiding, right? You're putting yourself into the vulnerable positions in yourself, and you're not taking these care and presenting yourself in a good way, right? That you would show up, that would welcome someone, right? So you think about it, and lots of times you can think about it by, like, it's weird, but like, take yourself outside of yourself, looking at yourself, and be like, okay, am I the person that I want to be right now? Like, if I'm looking at this person, am I like, what the heck is this person doing, right? Like, why is this person acting like that? If you would just stand outside yourself and look like that, and if it is, well, then stop what you're doing and think about it. Like, if I was looking at me, like, what would make myself proud of the steps I'm doing?
Yeah, good. I we were My son plays hockey and we were at a hockey tournament and we're like the team was winning. I don't can't remember what it was, like 2-0. I think the team was winning 2-3-0. The other team scores a goal. Just one goal. And we're still winning, right? And we got like four kids on the team that are slamming their sticks. They're all mad. One kid comes in, he's crying, he's mad, he's, we're never gonna win. We're not gonna win. I'm like, dude, we're gonna win. Just relax. We're not gonna win. We're not gonna win. And you could just see like the energy of the whole team starting to go down, imploding. And sure enough, we lost. We
Oh,
were
yeah.
out. We outplayed the team. We are better. The better team, but we lost because the kids lost their composure and started to say, "We're gonna lose. We can never win. We can't win." And there's, like I said, they're slamming their sticks. They're crying. They're just like, "What's going on here?" You know. But they talked themselves into a loss. Simply, one goal was scored. Like, and you talked yourself into a loss. That was.
It's funny, I can relate because I coach the kids' sports and we have basketball, right? And it's just funny because they're going through that emotional like learning stage, right? Which some of us are still like in, but you know,
Yeah.
like they'll go take a shot, and the second it goes up, it's a horrible shot, right? And they'll just like put their hands over their face and like cover their head, like oh my God, like the end of the world. And then it will miss and literally come back and hit them off the rebound. And because they weren't paying attention, it hits them and they could just put a layup back in. And it's like, listen, like I get it, but there's always the next time. Right. But if you just give up, like, look what just happened. You got this, and of course, the guy gets the ball and just the kid runs out and puts a layup in from the other side. Right. And you're like, look at all the events that just happened. Right. Understand you're going to miss. You are going to miss shots. Right. But you have to continue. And that's like a lot with life. It's like, you're going to miss. Right. But if you go, just cover your eyes. Right. Then you miss the opportunity that follows.
Yeah, it's the adults that continue to cover their eyes every time, you know, they miss a shot or they forget to take the shot or whatever it is, and they just cover their eyes every time, and oh man, what was me, right? You just gotta said you gotta grab the ball again. You look for the opportunity, continue to push on. Why ultra marathons, or why are you doing these runs?
Honestly, I just something I started to do,
Just
not for
enjoy it.
anything of like, yeah, it wasn't like, oh, I'm gonna go win a race. It was just like, it was something I started doing and it became a pattern, right? And it just became something of like a discipline, right? And so it just like goes to like the week workout theory. Like I'll work out every day, right? I'll get something in of energy, like pushing apart, regardless, just like being sick. Like I don't feel like working out every day. I just do it, right? And you know, many days you just don't, but you do it anyway. And as part of it, like, you never get done and be like, oh, I feel worse. Like no one ever gets through a workout and like, oh, and now I'm just like a worse person, right? Like you're always something of improvement. You feel better, you're energized, ready to go. And so usually a couple minutes, I'm like just going and then it's done, right? With the races, it's just a pattern of, you know, a lot of it transcends to like what we do here, right? You have a goal. The goal doesn't come quick, right? But you have the journey that goes throughout, and that's going to be where you spend all your time, right? So, you know, a 20-mile race, you're out there for 20 miles. So you cross the finish line within like 1 or 2 seconds, right? But you get focused on the finish line. You forget about the entire race, the entire journey of the race. And the journey of the race has, you know, high points, low points when it's just boring, points when you're just kind of doing stuff, you know, like there's all these points that are the journey, right? And then you get to the event. But when you get past the event, then like, you know, you just go and you do something else, right? So there's that point that passed that was 2 seconds of the goal, right? But now you have 20 hours that you're doing something for which you have all these highs and lows. And that's pretty much the evolution of entrepreneurship,
Yeah,
right?
100%.
Yeah.
Yeah. So everybody who wants to know what entrepreneurship feels like, go run a 20-mile race.
That's it, 20 miles, right? You'll see,
There it
because
is.
you'll be,
Or a 100-mile race.
I did a 100-mile race and 75 miles in. I'm perfect. Everything's fantastic. And my wife, she's like, "Hey, do you want an extra jacket or anything?" I was like, "No, I'm like perfect. I'm perfect temperature, right?" Not kidding you. Within 3 miles, I'm at like mile 78, right? I go the all of a sudden the sun goes down like within like 12 seconds, right? I hit this pattern where finally I'm outside the trees, I'm this open spot, the wind's going and the temperature dropped like 30 degrees, and I probably have like burned like 15,000 calories already. So it felt like I went from like perfect to like my body was just like straight ice, that I was moving just icicles, right? And so you think about the how you change your mood is from just like everything's good to like the world's over. Like I'm walking on icicles, like this, that, and I don't even know where I have to get to this next spot to the point right now, right? But that's usually how those races go, right? Where you're perfect one moment, and then the next moment, you know, like disaster, right? But then you just get to that next point, and you figure it out. But like the next 6 or 8 miles, whatever it was, compared to the 75 miles, might as well have been another 75 miles.
That was the hardest 6 or 7 miles that you did, right? I mean,
Yeah, it was it. Yeah.
you were exhausted. You probably at times just felt like, hey, if I could give up, I'd give up right now. But you keep on pushing, and that's the entrepreneurial journey, right? You're gonna have times where just everything is working just great. Yeah, and you're gonna have other times where
Yeah.
it would be easier to give up. Like it truly, like, yeah. you could give up right now and just be done and crawl in your little hole. But then what, right? Then what
What
would
are the
you
points
do?
of reality that actually helped there? I was like, okay, so say I gave up right now. I'm still gonna have to walk like 4.5 miles to anywhere for like to
Yeah.
go anywhere, right? So it's
Yeah.
like I still gotta do something. So like, and that's usually like you stop right now in your journey of like doing what you're doing. It's not like you just like stop. Like
Yeah.
you still have to do something. Like there's some reaction that's gonna be caused by this. So like I was like, oh great. So now I'll just walk somewhere freezing for 4.5. I was like, that sounds 10 times worse than me just finishing the darn thing. Just keep going.
Yeah. Oh man. Kudos to you for running those ultras. That is a big challenge. I'm a runner, but I man, running that is that just it takes a lot of discipline, and time, of course, and effort, but that's awesome. Do you work out 7 days a week?
I do.
You
I usually some days it will just be 20 and 20. I'll do I'll do 20 minute I actually do 5 minute core, 20 minutes of kettlebell workout and like a 20 minute cardio, right? And so like that would be my workout some days, right? But
Yeah.
I'll get it in. I'll just do something, right? And so that just keeps the pattern going all the way through.
Yeah. What is there a reason that, or just to keep the pattern going?
Yeah, pattern. Keep it going,
Pattern,
right? It's
discipline.
just become predictable in what it is, but it
Yeah.
also you do something at some part when you don't do it, it throws everything off. And so
Yeah.
that's become the piece of the puzzle. If I don't do it, then it throws everything off.
Yeah.
Right. And so.
One of the things that I was just struggling with, and I, like just it really just hit me honestly yesterday. Like I've been struggling. I want to work out every day, and I've been struggling doing it. And the last, it was yesterday and the day before, I didn't work out, and I just kind of ran out of time. It was really that was it. Like I didn't prioritize when I was going to work out. I had it on my calendar to work out, but then I got busy doing stuff, and I kind of just missed it. And I said, well, I kept on just pushing it off, right? So yesterday, for instance, I was going to work out, and then I just kind of was like, well, you know, I'm going to work out, and I kind of forgot what day it was. And my son has a tutor that tutors him on Thursday, and I was thinking it was Thursday, and so I'm like, well, I'll just wait till he's got his tutor time, you know, and I'll go work out during that time. It's you know, 45 minutes, perfect. I'll get a 45 minute workout in. Great. Well, it was Wednesday, right? And so I missed it. And so I didn't work out yesterday. And I'm like, you know what? Okay, from now on, I'm looking at my calendar, and I got to figure out what time of the day can I work out every day. And I looked at it and said, okay, I can work out every day between 10 and noon every single day. So now I've blocked off. Yes, this is what I did yesterday. I blocked off my calendar every single day. I have no appointments between 10 a.m. and noon. And
Yeah, it's great.
that's going to allow me to get my workout in every single day. No excuses.
And what you'll find when things bleed over or bleed in there, like you can crush it. Because some people are like, oh, I need 2 hours to work out. Like here with Todd too. And you can go like crush yourself in 15 minutes. And usually we're waiting for like, well, when I have 3 hours, I'll go back to the gym, right? And it's like, well, that never comes. So like when I have 3 hours, I'll go analyze multifamily properties. But if you went and did 15 minutes a day, like just like analyzing properties or working out, you think you'll improve? Yeah, absolutely.
Yep.
Like,
And
you know, 1% improvement over 365 days compounded is over 3,000% improvement.
yep.
Yeah, we
Yep.
don't want to pursue, we don't want the 1% because we want 100%, but 100% versus 3,000, what would you take?
Right. And it never, yeah, right. And I, you know, working out for 2 hours, it's not going to happen, right? But I know myself, and I know that if I schedule a meeting, I only have an hour. Well, then that meeting happens, and then I get distracted, and then something happens with that meeting that, or an email comes in during that meeting. Now I got to answer that email. Now I got to finish, you know, during that meeting, we talked about something, and it's on the top of my mind, and I got to get that done. And all of a sudden that hour turns into 5, 10, 15 minutes. And I'm like, I don't have time to work out anymore. So if it's 2 hours, I figure, okay, I know if it's 2 hours, even if something comes up, I got enough time to get that 20, 30 minute workout in that I, you know, hopefully it's longer, but at least I can get something.
All day long. Yeah, agreed. All day long.
It brings so much energy, clarity, man. I just, every time like you said, every time you work out, you never get done working out. You're like, man, I got no energy anymore. I'm just gonna go to bed. Right. You're just never. So, well, Jason, man, what else do you want to What's on your mind? What do you want to talk about? Anything else?
We covered a lot. I'll throw one thing in there. You know, something I started doing, which has been just interesting, and I'll say interesting because I don't know where it goes, is that, so I start the day, I get real focused, and then the day goes and runs a pattern, right? You just get super busy and you get to the end of the day, right? I've taken, like 2 minutes, right? Just in the middle of the day and just stopped and just taken a couple of breaths. And it's just very weird. I had someone that would just brought this up when I was talking to her the other day, and I was just like, that's really interesting, because when you do that, like it doesn't change the world, right? But it resets for a moment to realize that, like, you're not actually in a rush, right?
Yeah.
I am not, I'm
I
not
like that.
rushing to the hospital to perform brain surgery to make sure someone lives, right?
Yep,
Like right
yep.
now, like that, there's a pattern to that. But here, 5 seconds, like 30 seconds, like I can take that back and just reset. And it just, it's an interesting reset that I've been working on that's been eye-opening, I'll say the least.
Yeah. That's I like that. I like that. I try to reset myself. A lot of times I'll just go grab a pull-up bar, and
Yeah.
it doesn't even matter if you do one pull-up or 10 pull-ups or whatever, but
Yeah, it's stillness. It's
just,
pause, stillness. It just breaks up the point of just like going, like that point of this, like break the shift is good.
yeah, love that. Well, cool, man. I've asked you this before. I'm going to ask you it again. What are your three pillars of wealth creation?
Consistency, discipline, and persistence.
Love it. I'm going to have to go back to your other episodes, see what you said.
Yeah, it's probably a lot
Probably,
different.
they're probably the same, actually.
Yeah, same
Knowing
with different
you.
verbiage, right? But an
Yeah.
affront, yeah.
Yeah. Knowing you, they're like, it's the same, man. It's that's how you, I love your discipline, your mindset. And I know, of course, you're like, hey, it's not perfect, man,
Definitely not.
but it's really good how you think and your discipline. I'm always impressed by your discipline. And I know at times you're probably like, hey, man, I struggle with it. Everybody does, but I've always been impressed by your consistency, your discipline, your persistence. So
I
appreciate that.
appreciate it.
Well, hey, Jason, been a lot of fun. How can our listeners get in touch with you?
Yeah, so I have the new podcast we talked about, the Live 100 podcast with Jason Rusi. You can go out there and find me there. A lot of ton of good energy going out there, real short, if you want to go out there and level up on what you're doing. And beyond that, your RusiHoldings.com is everything from real estate side.
Awesome. Jason, appreciate it. Have a fantastic rest of the day.
Thanks, man.
Hey, thanks so much for listening. I appreciate you being a loyal listener. Say, I would love to have you go on to our Facebook page and subscribe, give us a thumbs up, go on to iTunes or wherever you listen and give us a rating and review. Don't forget to subscribe. But your rating and review just helps us push this out to more and more people and continue to grow our audience and hopefully positively affect a ton of people out there that really need this and want this. So the other thing I've got for you is a free ebook on my website. So go on to venturedproperties.com, venturedproperties.com, and download our free ebook on real estate and on syndication. And I've got some data points in there, some really good stuff for you. So I'd love to have you take a look at that. It's free. I'm not expecting anything from it. And also, look, if you want some help in multifamily, want some help learning, growing, getting your business off the ground, I would love to talk to you about what it would look like to work with me potentially and see if that's a good fit. So you can go to coachwithdex.com and check that out, and we can definitely have a call. Thanks a lot for listening. You make it a fantastic rest of the day. I'll catch you on the next episode.